Almost 100 years ago in 1912, a group of individuals in the Lebanon community felt that they needed to organize and begin a church to proclimate and proclaim the Word of God. They chose as the name for that, for the course of time, Lebanon Free Will Baptist Church. God has blessed it through the years, and we have had some tremendous preachers come through this church, also tremendous people come through this church. And rumors to the contrary, Brother A.C. Allen was not one of those original members. Back in 1912, we do value him, his insight, we appreciate him so much. We value him sacrificing his wife, has been in the hospital all week long, and yet he came today to be a part of this special day, and we praise God for that. But A.C., if you would, just share some things about our past with our people today.
Brother Mayer, an outline didn't mean a thing in the world that come to town, so I didn't bring one. I do think I've been here probably as long as most and remember many things about Lebanon Free Will Baptist Church. Exactly where the name Lebanon came from, I think it came from a Methodist church. Lebanon Graveyard does not belong to this church. It was named after something else, so get that straight to start with. I mean, we got the name Lebanon, but it was not original with us. But in 1950, I was 12 years old. So well, you figure, can't you? And I started coming to church here. I've been in church one time in my life up until then. Several years before I got saved, but it was an old wooden church, if you remember, over here. Had two doors, steps into it, two pot-bellied stoves up in the front. You know, people sat on the front better than they do now. Then we got real uptown. We got four gas heaters. And we put them all around. We had three Sunday schools in the rooms in the back. And finally, we took a curtain and cut one off in the corner over there. And we continued on. And Lebanon was good. In 1960, before I got saved, they gave me a job one time. League director. Well, I went to a service and found out you're supposed to be saved before you do that. So I went back home and resigned. I hope you got something to that too. But, God, but the fact is, God gave me a place here that became dear to my heart. And as the year went on, I remember when we paid the preacher $35 a week. I mean, that was good money. They were glad to get it, $35 a week. And we went, Brother Reed, might have been one of them. Okay, it went up by the time he got you. We got 50 in them. But anyhow, it progressed. I have seen people stand on the floor of the church, argue, get so mad they can spit in one another's face. I'm thankful to God that's in the past. There's one thing about a new generation, and I'm glad I was a part of that new generation. Now, somebody don't want me in this one. But the fact is, we did mature some. When I went to the altar in 1960, God got a hold of my heart. I went out there, and I was honestly going to be saved, and I was sorry, and I was crying, and people come and pray with me, but not there one of them showed me a Bible. Didn't show me any scripture. And I got out all just as lost as I was, and I got down there. It took me a week to save. I'll say the next time. I have now we've got people that can take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Amen. But Lebanon has come a long way. We've had some tough roads. One preacher said, this place will become a corn barn. I'm glad that preacher lied. Not bad, ain't. But it has not become a corn barn. And today we rejoice in the fact that God has kept the door open all these years. We've never done real great things, but those doors have always been open. They've always given to missions. They've always given to the children's home. They've always been willing to share. And I believe that's one thing about this church, that tradition should never stop. We should give and give and give on. God has brought us together today to show us that He is able. He prophesied in Ezekiel, I will bring you together and I'll multiply you. He has multiplied us, 275 plus here this morning. And you ain't seen nothing yet. Just keep on keeping on. You be faithful. And one day you can stand up 50 years later and say, I can remember when Brother Mike just got enough to buy groceries with. And we can pay a pastor full time. No, but God has been good to Lebanon. It will never be without problems because we've got people. But I'll promise you one thing. You hold on and He'll hold out.
Amen. Amen. Glory.
right, let's thank the Lord. Brother is going to lead us today. We're here during our main worship service, Saul, when we ask those people that had been saved or rededicated during the tenure of Pastor Mack in the last 3 years to stand up. What a great crowd of people stood up and acknowledged what God had done in their life. Had we asked the people that have begun to come to this church in the last 3 years to stand up, it would have just overwhelmed you to see what God has done in the past few years under this man's ministry. We tried to think of what we could do. We wanted to share some of our past, but also wanted to share some about the new people that are such a vital part of what our church is now and is going to be in the future. We thought about people like Sean Tanner and Phil Petter, and we said, no, we want somebody pretty. So we decided, we would get a pretty lady, if she would, to represent some of our new people. Betty Kinsler is going to come now and just share things about the relationship we have with our church and our new people. Betty, if you would.
There are three things that can make my heart really race. When the Holy Spirit is speaking and I won't move. When a blue light's behind me. And when I stand in front of a congregation. Will you be much in prayer? When Mac asked me to speak, I immediately accepted, and then I prayed and asked God, what can I share? What Lebanon, why I'm here today? And I'm not like AC, he's a speaker. And AC, I won't say who said it, but they said, AC's going to share the past. He came to Lebanon about time that Moses led the children out of Israel. Now, I don't believe that. I think he came right after Christ's ascension into heaven. Because it was people like AC makes churches like we have today and like the early church was, we read about in Acts. He told me he was doing his off the cuff. Well, he speaks all the time. I got me some notes. When we go on senior trips, I make everybody wear a name badge. That's not so others can know who you are. That's so you can tell them who you are. So we're at that place in life. And as I look out this morning, I see faces that I do not know. I see faces that I can put a name with and faces I know that I can't put a name with. And that's what a newcomer has. AC can look out and see people he doesn't know, but he knows the ones that's been here and have come in just the last 10 years. And it's harder for us new kids on the block to know everyone. And behind each face is a name. And behind each name is a soul. And God has a plan for each of us. None of us is here this morning by accident. I'll not go into the long story of how I came to Lebanon Baptist Church, but I will say I came to Florence, South Carolina in 1993, and I had been to Effingham, South Carolina one time. But my little granddaughter Rachel, many of you know Rachel, I would bring her to church with me, and she seemed the most unresponsive when you talked to her about Jesus. So one day she said, Mama, I accepted you. And she had come to know Christ at Lebanon Baptist Church. Thank God, as AC said, the door stayed open. That was an eternal decision. And we came to support Rachel here when she came to go in front of the church. We were still in the church, and I love the church with steeple. I hope we'll always remember that. As I come down the road, I see that steeple, and I know I'm getting close to Lebanon. But I said, Rachel, what was so different? And she said, you know, when Preacher Mac, she calls him Preacher Mac, when Preacher Mac speaks, it's just like God talking to me. And you know, that's what it really is. God's man preaches God's word through God's Holy Spirit. It's God talking to us, and we need to listen. And when we came to the little church, of course, Karen and Eric and all of us came, and it was full. It was hard to find seats. But y'all made us feel very welcome, and you were very friendly, and act like you was actually glad that we came. And I shared with Friend that I had been to Lebanon Baptist Church. And you know what they asked me? They didn't say, they've got a dynamic preacher there or whatever. They said, did you meet A.C. Allen? I figured this guy must run this place. But after a few visits to the church, I began to visit A.C. Sunday school class. And you know, when I miss his class, I'm very disappointed. I missed it last week. My granddaughter was in here because he teaches something that I can use in my life during the week. And I found out three things about A.C. He's very opinionated, but he will listen to yours occasionally. But he can teach. He can preach, and he can sing. But more than that, he has a heart to serve God. I enjoy the great singing that we had at Lebanon as individuals come up here and sing. I pray that God will place on your heart that you will join the choir. There'd be a lot of voices lifted up for God through that. But I love the song that Kathy sings. If God is 3 days late, he's right on time. This March the 31st, 2 years ago, God got my attention. I fell and I broke my hip. And during that recovery time, God spoke to my heart and he showed me that I replaced his plan with my plan. When you get ready to go to church on Sunday morning and you can't find your Bible because you've left it in the car all week and something's wrong with your life. So in September of that year, I did an Experiencing God study. It was a 12-week small group study. And in that, God reached me in many ways. And one thing he taught me, I need to go where he's working and not where I want to go. I just finished the study when I came to Lebanon Baptist Church. And you will have the advantage of knowing Pastor Max. A lot of you that's been here knew him from a child on up. Well, we needed to get to know him. And so my daughter, as far as I was concerned, it was a miracle. She invited him to dinner. She don't invite nobody to dinner. And you know what she worried about? Not that she's going to feed him. Not what he thought about her house. What kind of conversation was we going to have with the preacher 2 hours? Well, they got the steaks done, all phone time, salad ready. Guess what? Steaks got cold, salad wilted, and Pastor Max still wasn't there. That's when we found out he's always late. But 3 minutes into the visit, we didn't have to worry about conversation. He can have a conversation and you don't have to say nothing. And we didn't have to worry about 2-hour conversation. 4.5 hours later, he's still talking. But one thing he did say that night, as we sat around the dining room table, was his vision for Lebanon Baptist Church. And he named them, and I have seen them fulfilled step by step as God gave him the vision of what was going to happen here at Lebanon Baptist Church. You know, I was saved at 16. I came to a little country church on an altar like this, and that's where that the guy I just thought was the most handsome man that God had created belonged, went to church. And of course, I joined there, and eventually I wore him down and I married him. I didn't ask God if that's where he wanted me. Then we moved, and he chose another church, and I went to that church. That church, after 25 years, divided, and we went to the new church. And then we moved to Florence, and I visited several churches, and then had a friend at this church that they liked, and the only way they would join is for me to join. So I joined that church, and they quit going to church, so I picked a church that was close to me, that was had friends I knew, a pastor I knew, and did you hear me? I picked. And God never really blessed me in that church. And I had all kinds of reasons for not joining Lebanon Baptist Church. First of all, it's 15 miles away. And the distance is okay during the day, but I'm like a bat might see at night. But buddy, I don't. So when I go out of this parking lot and it's night, you better be sure you're behind me or ahead of me. So I said, Lord, you know, that's awful hard at night for me to drive. And another reason was Pastor Matt. Can you believe that I wouldn't want to join the church because of him? Because I did not want to join because of a man. If I joined, and you know, I used to talk to God, and I thought there were some things that he just didn't know about me. But I knew that I couldn't fool God. And in my heart, I knew that when I joined this church, it had to be because I wanted this to be my church family. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And just as we have families, our immediate family, our extended family, God knows that we need each other as brothers and sisters in Christ to pray for each other and to lift each other up. And if we'd all do what we need to do, none of us would suffer. We'd be there for each other. And I'm here to tell you, there's people in this church that's got power prayer other than the pastor. You know, we need to reach out to each other. Last Sunday night was an example of I can't see when it rains. And you know, Pastor Max said he wasn't going to come visit me if I didn't show up Sunday night. So I said, well, I don't really care. I can't see. It's raining. Pastor Michael visited me. I came here a long time as a guest. Guests don't really have to do anything. They just sort of drift on. And God began to impress on my heart that I need to make a decision. And I gave him all the excuses that I had just told you about. And he said, my ways are not your ways and my thoughts are not your thoughts. So after much prayer, and I prayed about this, and I sought God's will, I knew he wanted me to become a part of this church family. And so I made the commitment to join this church. And as you all know, in August, I turned 65 years of age. That's no secret. Vince told everybody in this church I was 65. But this is the first time that God made the decision where I should join this church. Therefore, I think I'm where he is working, where I can be used, where my talents and my gifts can be used. I always tell Pastor Mac that when I heard him preach the first time, it was love at first sight. But in my heart, if God would call him somewhere else, this is my first home. And until God takes me home, or I move, or whatever, I want to be part and do whatever I can that God has me to do in this church. And probably take me the rest of my life and then some to remember, or to know and remember everybody's name. When I get one name in there, I've lost another one somewhere. When I joined this church, I committed myself to pray for each leader of this church. And now, Mike, I can relate to your stories, how God uses different ways and little things to show us He's in control of our lives. And you know, we need to pray for Mike. He does so much behind the scenes for us. And he does all the work throughout the week that can enjoy the Sundays like we do. And God sent Chris for our youth. There are some people in this church who just bubble with Christ's love. And to me, one of those people is Todd. I love that boy. And Pastor Reedy, as he works with the senior adults, sometimes the older people get forgotten. And you know, we're covering all of our bases. And Pastor Mac needs our prayers and encouragement. And I'm often asked, how did you wind up at Lebanon Baptist Church? In fact, Kate Powers, who I found out is Jimmy Allen's aunt, says, how did you wind up at Lebanon? And I could give her the explanation that I've given you. But the explanation is, God led me to where He is working. Something I learned in my experience in God's study, when the world sees things happening through God's people that cannot be explained except by God. God Himself has done them. The world will be drawn to such a God. And that's what I see happening at Lebanon. I hear, I've never come to a service that I haven't heard the greatest church in South Carolina. I agree. But the great church does not have walls, but hearts of love, and God exercising faith by attempting God-sized challenges through us. I pray that we don't only increase in size, in ministries, and outreach, but that we increase our personal relationship to God and that believe that with God all things are possible. And God will make the vision that He gave Pastor Mac a reality. And this altar, I think that was one of the first things that impressed me when I came to the little church we were in. It's people who came to the altar. That we always have the altar where we can come and bring our burdens and people can find God and bring Him into His heart. I was asking God what to share, and Isaiah 10:15, does the axe raise itself above him who swings it, or the saw boast against him who uses it? No instrument or tool accomplishes its purpose without a greater power. May Lebanon Church be a tool in God's hands, and He is the greater power working through you and I. The short time I've been here, there's been a lot of change. But one thing that has not changed is that every time that I come into this place, God is here. Class 3:3, there's a time to tear down and a time to build. Joshua 6 was a time to tear down. Marching around the walls came down. Today, we'll stand where God wants us to build walls as the church. When Jesus returns, whether it be in our generation or in the next generation or future generation, I hope the only part of Lebanon Church that is left will be the walls that we build, and the church will be with Christ.
Amen. As I travel across our state and people wonder at what God is doing at Lebanon Church, they ask me, Mike, how do you explain that happening there and it not happening somewhere else? And I generally give them three basic answers. to that question wherever I go. I say, first of all, God has given us a young man as a pastor who is willing to listen to and follow the directions of the Spirit of God. Most important thing can happen to a ministry. Secondly of all, God has given the best church in South Carolina the best people in South Carolina. And we have people who have a mind to work and who are willing and able to do what they need to do. But the third thing that I say to them always is this. I believe God has blessed us as He has one reason because of our willingness to have a relationship with and a partnership with our Hispanic brethren. I believe God has used that in a marvelous and a mighty way. And we are honored today that Pastor Bustamante will come and speak to us, and then as soon as he gets through, his people will share it with us. Brother Bustamante, my friend, someone who loves God today.
It's an honor for me to be here in the best church in South Carolina.
Amen.
With the really young people in this church, because the Lord make us young, you know. I don't have more English. Cuando yo me paro en este púlpito,
when I stand at this pulpit,
y veo diferentes personas y colores,
when I see different people, different races and colors,
recuerdo la palabra de Dios.
I remember the word of God.
Dice, mira cuán bueno y delicioso es habitar los hermanos juntos en armonía.
It said, the word says that how good it is for brothers to be together in harmony.
Salmo 133.
Thank you. Psalms 133.
Una vez invité a una persona de otra religión.
One time I invited somebody from a different religion.
Aquí a la iglesia.
To this church.
Y entró y vio el lugar y dijo, este es un gimnasio.
And he came in and he looked around and said, this is a gym.
Es porque en nuestro país, en una iglesia hay figuras,
because,
ídolos.
Because in our country, the churches have figures, idols.
Y aquí no vio ninguno.
And he didn't see any.
Si aquí no es iglesia.
In a church.
Y digo, sí, sí es.
Yes, yes, it is a church.
Aquí está la presencia de Dios.
Here is where the presence of God is.
Porque este lugar está lleno de amor.
Because this place is filled with love.
Y donde hay amor, ahí está Dios.
And where there is love, there is God.
En el corazón de Dios nació visión de tener una iglesia hispana en este lugar.
In the heart of God, there was born the idea of having a Hispanic church in this place.
Y también la visión en hombres de Dios de este lugar también.
And also visions for the men of God here in this place.
Yo recuerdo bien.
I remember very well.
Primera vez que venimos a este lugar.
The very first time we came to this place.
Mi familia y yo sentimos mucho amor.
My family and I felt so much love.
Y me dijeron, tienes que ver las iglesias bautistas libres que hay ahí.
I was told that I needed to check out other
Free Will Baptist churches.
Free Will Baptist churches here in the area.
Para ver dónde tú quieres empezar.
To see where I wanted to start.
Y yo dije, yo soy de aquí.
And I said, uh-uh.
Y Dios siempre nos ha bendecido.
God has always blessed us.
Estamos muy contentos este día.
We are very happy this day.
Porque sabemos la visión que hay en este lugar.
Because we are aware of the blessing that is in this place.
Porque cuando Dios bendice el pueblo americano,
because when God blesses the American people,
También bendice al pueblo hispano.
He also is blessing the Hispanic people.
Porque somos un cuerpo en Cristo.
Because we are one body in Christ.
A Dios no le importa el color ni la raza.
To God, there's not an importance to color or race.
Lo que le importa es el corazón de cada uno de nosotros.
What's important is the condition of each of our hearts.
A una gran iglesia.
For a very great church.
Grandes hombres de Dios.
There are great men of God.
Este joven que está aquí.
This man that's right here.
Que es el pastor de esta iglesia.
The pastor of this church.
Es un hombre con gran visión.
It's a man that has a great vision.
Y Dios a los hombres de gran visión.
And God, the men who have great vision.
Les da una gran iglesia.
They give great church.
Y este es el premio.
And that's the prize.
Que este lugar tiene. Es la visión de tener un pastor joven, fuerte y espiritual.
That this place has, they have a pastor who's young. What else? Strong and he's very spiritual.
Y aquí está el otro hombre de Dios.
And this is the other man of God.
También joven.
Also young.
Aquí todos somos jóvenes.
All of us here are young.
Hombres fuertes.
Strong men.
Para iglesias fuertes.
For strong churches.
Cuando esta iglesia es fuerte.
When the church is strong.
Esta iglesia.
When this church is strong.
La comunidad hispana también es fuerte.
The Hispanic community also strong.
Porque estamos unidos.
Because we are united.
Y esta fortaleza.
This strength.
La formó Cristo Jesús.
Christ formed.
Ahí en la cruz del Calvario.
And on the cross, Calvary.
Por eso nosotros, la comunidad hispana, estamos muy contentos este día.
That's why us as a Hispanic community are very happy today.
Y queremos hacer dos cantos.
And we would like to sing two songs.
Siempre me preguntan, ¿vas a hablar mucho?
They always ask me, am I going to talk a lot?
Les digo, no.
No.
Pero sí me gusta.
But I like to.
Pero es hora de también de salir muchas veces. No. Por favor, vamos a cantar.
Okay, we're going to sing.
Michelle, regrésame el micrófono. Back the microphone. Gracias. Maybe you can understand this song, but the Holy Spirit can touch your heart.
You did not know you could sing in Spanish, and you did. You did well. Thank you so much, brother, for joining our hearts together. I have been in the ministry almost 48 years now. I'm headed toward the twilight of my time. And I asked God if He would help me to finish well. He brought me to a place where He has done a significant work, and He is doing a significant work, and I praise God for the privilege that He has given me of serving you these few years. I pray God will just bless. I'm excited about the future. I know we're going to break ground here. But I don't ride by 64 acres on the main road that I don't pray about them as well, that God will give us a new building there one day. I envision schools and training centers and media places where the world will hear about what's happening at Lebanon Church. And part of that is because God has sent our way a young man who is willing to listen to the voice of God and allow God to use him for his glory. Would you give my pastor and your friend a round of applause as he comes to share his vision of what God has in store for us?
The Bible says in Matthew 7:24-27, therefore whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. At this time, I want to ask our chairman, just before I envision, give you a little bit of the layout of this building. The chairman of our board, Brother Jimmy Allen, would you come to the microphone and lead us in a word of prayer? Thank God for this man and what he's been able to do through him, and I value his prayer. And would you bow with us as we pray? Our gracious Heavenly Father, words are hard to come by to explain the magnificent work and glory in this house. We thank you so much, this congregation, for these people, their hearts, their desires, and their wishes, and their dreams. You put before us a great monumental task that seems effortless in the, now that we look back. We have a great task ahead of us to fulfill what you have set before us, to build a building to span the glory of God. Let's not seek this property and the thoughts that it is sacred for your work. Always hold it high and mighty above all things. We ask you to touch all our hearts, our minds, and give us the wisdom to lead you forward to build a church, a facility that is worthy of work. Help us work together to reach a consensus of how and where we need to go. Thank you so much for what you've given us. And all the things we have and the blessings. It's just unworthy. But with your grace and mercy and your desires, lead us forward. It may start in Effingham, but we have outreaches all over the country, wherever they do. So always remember where your roots came from. Always remember to put your trust in God, faith, and the good Lord mighty himself. And bless Seven and Free Will Baptist Church. That we may continue to do your work and to lead your wishes. In this I pray and ask all things in your name, in Jesus Christ. Amen. In January, I will be your pastor officially 3 years. I began here and I got one thing. And so thank you. Thank you. Die hard. Amen. In 06 September, my birthday, September 15th, and I can remember that very well because right after that, you know, God gave me the time here to be able to fill in after Brother Chris Fannin. And I do want to say a word about that for a moment. Chris Fannin was the last pastor I will probably ever have because he was here. And one thing I want to do, and I want you to help me do this, is I believe in spite of our ways, and listen, we all make mistakes, but we have to take the good in life, and we have to really, really build upon that. Don't ever be afraid to tell someone doing a good job, because someone's going to come around pretty close by that, not the wind out of their sails. So I think it's important to make those heads big, if you please. But I've painted one of those shovels extra beyond the three that we use today. One of them, we have those three shovels. One of them, all three of those represent the Father. Now, in a moment, Brother Bustamante is going to when we all get out there and encompass our property there, not the building perimeter, but we get around that dirt that we're going to break ground with, Brother Bustamante is going to lead us off by saying, in the name of the Father, and he will scoop a shovel of dirt. It's my wish, if you would honor me in this, that Brother Reedy Severance will scoop the second, and it will be in the name of the Son. And then it'll be Charles Gray who does in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That is what I would like to say. Very simply because Brother Bustamante, and I will tell you, y'all bear with me today. I will let you off the hook. He's next week for putting up for today. But, anyhow, I'm just not good at telling God no. I have been, but I try to make work. When Brother Chris was here, he introduced the Hispanic minister. And I give him credit for that today. He's not here. He's in Arizona. But he introduced it, and you accepted it. And ever since that time, our church has prospered. I told Brother Bustamante when I was on the pit committee looking for myself, to figure that. oh boy. But anyhow, I wish that would have told me no. But I told Brother Bustamante, I said, as long as I'm here, you will be here. And my handshake is as good as one that used to be. So I believe that. So I believe that the Hispanic ministry is just as valuable as anything we do. Secondly, with the Chris, he helped start the movement in our church. And I have one of those shovels in the electrical room that one of them is going to go to Fran Gray. And it's going to represent the three in one, the Trinity of God. And she's going to make something where we can hang that in our trophy case that we will have at the entrance of our new facility. That's the first thing we're going to build so people can see our character and see what God has done. Even our softball and our mission trophies and everything we do should be on display and not in an office where they can be broke. But that will come. But he... it goes way back. And, anyhow, he made a big difference in my life. And he showed me how Christians could have fun. And he began this work. And one of those shovels that we painted five, we put them in 24 karat gold if you want. Effingham style, and three of them we used on the field today. One of them will go to Fran Gray, and one of them I will see get shipped to him. Signed by the pastor in his church and the board members. And we will mail that and make sure that gets to him if I drive it to him myself. Knows nothing about that, but we're going to get that to him. Now, that's just what I want. God gave me a vision through all of this, and I've had the liberty of going to some churches here of late and speaking in revivals. And, you know, I'll tell you something. Most of you know it, some of you may have forgotten, but we are blessed beyond some of our own dreams. When I go into a church, and listen, I'm not about the numbers, but I have to be about the numbers because God has sent you, and I cannot deny that. But I am like the church. It's about the people. It's not about the walls. And it's not about the facility, because the facility is going to be here when we're gone. And I've already talked to
Andy Ward and Sean Towner locking up after the rapture, after we're gone. They're going to leave a shovel for you. And you dig your way out best way you know how. All right. We just broke the ice, you don't know. AC, Betty, you've done a wonderful job. Betty, you did better because you talked about me more than AC did. And I love each and every one of you. And I will let you know this is made possible because of you. And then can I tell you how proud I am of my church? Because a lot of you would have, you know, some people in some places would have eaten went home. But you found this more important than anything else. And I'm going to say it means the world to me. If you want to discourage me, lay out of church. That's the best way you can get me. I just believe God's people are to be in God's house, doing God's will. And I just believe, heck or high water, we ought to come to church. It ain't always about what you're going to get. It's about what you give to your brother and you didn't even realize it. Because I'm telling you, just by you showing your face time, lift someone else's spirits, you'll never know till you get to heaven. It's so important. It all works together for the good and for the glory of God. But I stood here this morning, and I seen those kids, and I just got to tell Kristen and Crystal, I mean, they're just doing an awesome job. I'm so proud of them. They have raised the bar. I just love you. You're doing God's job and God's work, and I'm so proud. And all those who contribute. But those young people, see, what burns in my heart, in my vision, in a summary, is this. I went to high school, South Florence, hoo-hoo. And always been a Gamecock fan. Hoo-hoo. Okay, all right. But here's the thing. I went to Florence Southern Tech for a two-year associate degree in civil engineering. And it was straight through the summers. Well, I made one of them. And I passed. But I haven't made a second one yet. I tell you what my intentions are, that Matt Pinson said at the Bible College in Nashville he would accept my credits from that 1 year so it wouldn't be in vain, and it would go toward an associate's degree in Bible. I do want to reach that for myself. But an uneducated man seems like as if though he wants to be educated more than someone maybe who had received the education. And thank God for the breaks that he has given me in life because I have it written on paper. And he has given me an opportunity to excel and do well. Not only in the kingdom of heaven, but here. But it my heart is that the young people, see, because it's frustrating I get sometimes with adult people because they're so stubborn and hard-headed. The reason I know that, because I am one. But I want to see our young people, I believe in Proverbs 22:6. Believe if you train a child up in the way that he should go, when he is old, he shall not depart. And I want to see our young people in which God has blessed us with, I want to see facility and institution to where our people are being trained in the ways and the work of God. That they be given every opportunity to serve him on this side and make an impact. And that's my vision, that we grow and that we expand. For lost souls, number one, because he came to seek and to save those who were lost. But I want to see disciples made for him. People who learn. I mean, in this upcoming year, we're working on a Bible institution here in our church to where we'll have courses forgiven for those who come and can learn more about God and how to build his kingdom, more about our young people and the education. And I want to see that prosper and grow, but you need facility. You need room. And that being said, our church, of course, is, as you know, this is going to be our worship center. We're actually building a family life center or a gym so that we can have our worship in here. And on Easter Day, we're going to have 500 people. None less, and we'll take more. Here's the deal. If we have 498, we will not have church till one of you go get the other two. We will have 500 for Easter Sunday. We will have the room to to accommodate them. So you set your sights and your goals. Because like me, some of you have got a little complaint. But I'm going to tell you what, there's a big hole going to be formed when that wall comes down. And boy, we need to get the wheels turning now. Amen? How many are we going to have Easter Sunday morning? Nothing less. 100. Now, saying that, we're fixing to walk out here in just a minute. And I'm going to read something to you. We're going to go out there. So like Mike said, the first thing we're going to do is me and Brother Eric will walk here and shovel us out. All three of those are there. Those who will assume their role will be there, have prayer around that. Outside there is an orange line that goes roughly the perimeter of the church, 140 feet out, 70 feet wide. And what we're going to do is we're going to stand on that orange line and we're going to join hands. So if you see somebody you don't want to hold hands, pick your place and walk it out. Because may the circle go unbroken. So we're going to go out there and we're going to stand on that orange line and we're going to form the walls of our new family life at the end. And we will pray. I want to give you some insight now that you won't be able to hear me. We'll get outside in a minute. But I want you to watch some things very closely. How Hispanic and the American can stand together hand in hand. And how this symbolizes how our worship will be in heaven. You will also have the opportunity to stand on those boundaries and be able to look in on what the new facility will be. Now, when you look in,
everything you pretty well going to see is going to be this back wall. And it's going to be black room, a big teen room, a youth room, where there'll be a class. As well, there'll be a big youth room. There's going to be classrooms. And there's going to be a big kitchen, ladies. And the big kitchen. And we're going to have more classrooms. That's what we're starving for. And middle-aged adults who have kids in college and in high school, we've got your group coming, I'm telling you right now. And we're really working on these things. What's going to happen is in here, there'll probably be, you know, the big stage is going to be in the center over here. It's going to be like 75 foot wide, and it's going to be out on the floor, and the choir will be behind the tree seats. And we're going to have a couple of projectors on each side, so you'll be able to see music and the scripture and the media. And we're going to have a screen back here for you choir and everyone where you'll be able to see what they see. So when you're special singing, you won't have to wonder about what's going back here. You'll know. And that's a part of our media. We're going to be able to have live feeds where we can take the gospel out of people and reach thousands and thousands and thousands of people for God and for His glory. And we're going to have big bathrooms over here in this facility, you know. You'll be able to take like 10 people in one bathroom. They got these new women urinals we're going to try out. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm just kidding. Don't you miss your mission. And but anyhow, moving on. But we're gonna have a bathroom, ladies, where when you walk in, if you open the door, you don't have to worry about nobody coming down the hall. Yeah, yeah, it's gonna be good. I'm telling you, it's just gonna be God's blessing on us. Nothing that man has done, but it's all what God has done, and may the glory be to God. Continue to pray more than anything. I appreciate you and your tithing and your giving among our people. In our denomination, our church is one of the few of 90-something-plus churches in our state that are not walking around scrubs trying to wonder how they're going to keep the lights on. And this church is. And you've been faithful. And God honored you. I mean, He said in Malachi that He would open up the windows of heaven and pour it out on them. You continue to trust in the Lord and give in that way because God has it. But then we're going to have a choir room where our choir can come out of there. Amen, yeah. And we're going to be able to come out. And on the stage, there's going to be outlets when you do decorations on the stage. Only a couple of you decorate. I got a couple of you. And it's just so much. And we're going to have the sound booth, but it's going to be above that entrance when you come in. It won't be on the floor level no more.
you have to look up to my children from now on. Amen. You know, and Al and those are there. So anyhow, it's going to be great. And what we're going to be able to do. So we're thankful for that. It's been a long time coming. You've been patient, and I just want to commend you on that. Let me read this, and then we're going to go outside, okay? The Word of God informs us that except the Lord build the house, we labor in vain that build it. We rejoice today in the prospect of breaking ground for a building to be erected to the glory of God. It is our fond hope that this spot may indeed be holy ground where many will learn to follow God and fellowship together as the family of God. May this time be that each of us break up the hard ground in our own hearts. It's this house that is more important than anything to God. This is the temple of God, of the living God. And we make sure that, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to have a prayer, a committal prayer, just before we leave here. Because I want to make sure that everything is all as well in your own heart. But God may break up that hard ground. And listen, the wonderful thing is that we are able to rededicate ourselves to serve the Lord. What with zeal and purpose. I love that zeal, that resilience that we have displayed through any bump in the road we have faced. That builds character. That's what gives us our mark and distinguishes us from other people. As we build this building, may we continually be reminded that we are laborers together with God. With God. Not in front of God, not behind God. Both are dangerous, but with God. Remember, our church is a shadow church. We walk in the shadow of the Lord Jesus Christ, that people may not see us, but they will see His works through us. It's all about Him. So what I want to do is pray yet again and just give you a time to rededicate your heart. If there be a place in your heart today before we walk out these doors and stand on that ground, because if you will remember, when we first got that property and paid that $60,000 for 2 acres, we were told we would never own it. And $82,500 plus closing fees, we have 2.5 acres of prime property right here. But God turned right back around and gave that money. He is blessed. But we have that property. And you remember that circle of prayer? So what I've done is called the Florence Airport, and they're going to do a topography. No, I would say good. Boy, we put that in Florence Morning News. And we get Todd to kind of look up with that deer in the headlight look that he has on his 40th birthday. Todd, where are you at? Hey, Todd. There he is. Todd's breaking big ground today. He's going into 40-hood. Amen. That's old as dirt right there. No, just kidding, Todd. I love you, buddy. Listen, guys. Here's the thing.